And it says, we regard, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Here's another way of putting that. This is English Standard Version. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. In the New Living Translation, here's another view of this. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. And when you read this, if you're like me, I scratch my head and like, what is meant by this? And after studying it, I've come to this conclusion. There's two views. We have the worldly view, the flesh, the human point of view. And then we have what I call the heavenly view, which is right here. Oh, I gave you an answer. Don't look at that. But I also know there's a religious flesh or worldly view. And there's also a modern, current day flesh view. So here's what I mean by that. Here's the religious flesh view. Human sin. Then when Jesus came in human form, people thought, here's another human sinner. And of course, what did the Pharisees think of Jesus? A blasphemer. Evil. Deserved to die. Human sin, and humans are and will always be sinners rebelling against God. That's a religious view. Not just Christians believe this, Jews believe this, and Muslims believe this. And what this summarizes, what this comes to a conclusion is there is no promising reconciliation, just hope for it someday. There's no promising reconciliation, no experience of it now, just hope for it someday. So what you see is all there is. No, it's not what we see. That's not all there is. Humans are from God. Sin brought them far from God. So humans are from God. Sin brought us far from God. And then God came near. So that's the religious view. There's no promising reconciliation. Just hope for it someday. Here's the modern flesh view. If sin is rebellion against God's will and God doesn't exist, then sin is merely a concept, not a reality. Right? Sin is broken relationship with God. But if God doesn't exist, then is there any sin? No. It's just this idea in our heads. So humans are capable to both build and destroy, but that doesn't mean either act is rebellion against a certain order, because there is no certain order. But we know that God created the earth. He brought order out of chaos. So this would be a religious view. This would be kind of the modern world view. I've heard many people say there's no such thing as sin, because there is no God. But that's not quite right. So if people believe this, then they come to this conclusion: sin doesn't matter. Just do the most good that you can do. The culture in which you live, so how do we know what is good? The culture in which you live defines what is good. In other words, there's no need to be reconciled. All right? But we know that humans are from God. Sin has brought us far from God. And because we are far from God, God came near to us. He crossed the expanse of heaven and earth, and he came. How did he come? He put on flesh, and he dwelt among us. So which is the Christian understanding of God and sin? Here's A, B, or C. A, God punishes sin. Do good and you will be forgiven. B, God is all loving. You are going to sin your whole life, so don't fret. He's all loving. Or C, God is holy. He came to us to atone for our sin and to reconcile us. Now, all of them, we kind of look at all of them and we're like, well, that's in some way, B in some way, but really C is the holistic view of God and sin. God is holy. He's without sin. He came to us still without sin, And he laid down his life to atone for our sins, to reconcile us to God and to one another. The answer is C. Ding, ding, you win. So that's the fleshly point of view, modern flesh, religious flesh. Here's the heavenly view, which we read. Verse 21, God became human, and he did not sin, but rather he became sin, which is a very interesting designation for God. He became sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. So therefore, we don't regard anyone from a fleshly point of view. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature, meaning you are recreated, regenerated by God. The old is gone, the new has come. Old sinful acts. Thomas Oden calls this the false self. That's not your true, authentic self. You know how people say, I want to be authentic. If you want to be authentic, be the person who Christ has created you to be, who you're intended to be. Our default setting coming out of the womb is that we are sinful. And it's only by God's presence in our life in Christ that we can be made new as we are intended to be in the first place. So the false self, the false human nature, the flesh. But the new has come, the true human nature, redeemed by Christ. And we see that in Christ, humanity is fully realized. We've never seen a human like this, is basically what Paul is writing to the Corinthians. We've never seen anyone like Jesus. The only humans we have known have been sinful humans, but here comes a human from heaven, fully God, fully man, who is without sin. So we don't regard anyone from this point of view that humans are just sinful and will continue to be sinful, but we regard from people from the point of view where Christ has come in the flesh and is redeeming humanity to be free from sin, to be new creations, which is really good news, not just for us, but good news for the world, good news for our enemies. And that right there is the reason why we can love our enemies, because we believe in the transforming work of Christ in their life. And we want to be part of that change. So God reconciles sinners to himself, and then God gives the reconciled ministry. Sorry, God gives the reconciled, that's us, the ministry of reconciliation. And God reconciles sinners to each other. God is creating something brand new. This is what he does in us and through us. This relationship is restored and made right. How many of you are settled in the fact that you are reconciled to the Father? That should be all of us, right? If you didn't have that, where would you be mentally? Or do you remember a time where you didn't have that? But to wake up in the morning and to be in a place of intimate relationship with God is a freeing thing. If we didn't have that, we'd be greatly lost. But the work that he does in us, he doesn't just stop there. He gives us a mission, and that mission is the ministry of reconciliation, the work of Christ in the world. We are the embodiment and the extension of his reconciling work. That's what it means to be a Christian. Chick-fil-A does a wonderful job of training their employees. You ever been to Chick-fil-A? What a good chicken sandwich. I could use one right now. I could use two. Sometimes that's what I order, two chicken sandwiches. And boy, do I feel it later. But it's so good. And the reason why the lines wrap around Chick-fil-A is because they know that they're going to get good service and quick service. And look at these employees. These employees look happy. And typically, that's what I find at Chick-fil-A, that the employees are very happy. They're happy to serve me. And things that I normally do for myself, somebody already comes up to me and says, can I take this for you? And I say, I'm at a fast food restaurant. I can do this myself. No, they said, no, I'll take it. And I say, thank you. And then they say this, it's my pleasure. And I was like, well, that's a nice person. Then I realized there was another person who said the same thing to me at a different place. It's my pleasure. And I realized it's my pleasure is a way of doing things at Chick-fil-A. It's the culture that they have created. And there's a whole book on it's my pleasure. And what these people are, these people who serve such wonderful chicken sandwiches, is they are ambassadors of the company. They carry out the mission. They embody the values of the company. And if Christ has come to us and he's laid his life down for us and brought reconciling work into our lives, he has set us out to be his ambassadors, his representatives in this world to embody his reconciling work in the most broken places in the world. That's good news. And you know what? It's our pleasure to do it. It's our delight. It's our joy because of the joy that Christ brings to our lives. That's why we can't regard anyone merely from a fleshly, worldly understanding. Right? Remember he says, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. This is why we can't. Because we know what Christ can do in the life of a human being. A sinner is not just a sinner. A sinner is someone who is yet to be reconciled to God. And that has to be our mindset in the world in which we live. Especially in such a polarizing society where people demonize each other. And we don't do that. Instead, we say, these are people who have yet to be reconciled to God and to one another. There's hope. So I want to draw our attention to Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners, how are people viewing them? Jesus, I can't believe you are with them. You know who they are. Why would, if you claim to be the man that you are, the prophet that you are, why would you be with them? The tax collectors and sinners are all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law mutter, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. Gross. I'm going to Chick-fil-A. And then he tells three parables. The first parable is about sheep. That a shepherd leaves the 99 goes for the one. And of course, people are baffled by this. Why would a shepherd leave the fold to go after one? This is the worldly, fleshly understanding that one doesn't matter because he's lost and he's going to be lost. But the change of mind, the new mind we have in Christ of people in the world is that the heavenly view is that this one matters to God. He's yet to be reconciled to God. And the second parable is about a woman with a lost coin. Now everyone has loose change that's lying around the house, and when you find it, you're like, oh good, and you put it in the jar. You don't throw a party. But this woman, when she lost her coin, she swept the whole house, and when she found it, she celebrated. And she gathered everybody that she knew to come celebrate that she found this lost coin. The worldly point of view, the fleshly point of view, is that that's a lost coin. It doesn't matter. There's many others. But the heavenly view is that the lost one matters greatly. And then the third story is the lost son. This is a picture of it. I use this all the time, don't I? I preached on the merciful father 2 weeks ago. So I'm coming back to this parable again just because it's part of the lectionary reading. It's too good to pass up. Just coming at it from a different angle. Notice that the shepherd went looking, the woman went looking, but in the story of the prodigal son, when he says, Father, when the younger son says, Father, I don't need you anymore, give me my estate, I'm going to go off and live how I want to live. The father sells half of his property, gives his son the money, the son goes squanders the money, then he realizes he has no money left. He starts eating the slop of pigs because he's hungry. He realizes, he comes to his senses and he says, I have to go back home, at least I can be a servant in my father's household. And so he starts on the journey home. We notice that there's no one going and searching for the lost son. Now you could say, well, the father comes out and runs to him while he's a long way off. That's true. But still, no one goes searching. And so while he's a long way off, the father sees him, runs to him, wraps his arms around him, kisses him, puts his own robe on him, puts a ring on his finger and says, come, let's celebrate. He tells the servants to kill the fattened calf. Let's have a party. And then the brother hears about this. He sees what's going on and he grumbles and complains. This is him back here in the shadows. And what we see with the older brother is that he's regarding his younger brother from a fleshly point of view. And Paul's saying, we regard no one in this way. All can be reconciled. Even the ones you despise the most. And of all the people who should have gone after the younger brother, perhaps it's the older brother. Am I my brother's keeper? Perhaps if he, now I know it's just a parable, you don't want to go too far into parables, but I think there's a connection here. Perhaps if he had a heavenly view of his brother, the lost brother, he would go after him and reconcile him to his father. And here's the key for us. Who is our brother who crossed great lengths to come find us and reconcile us to the Father? It's Christ, the brother you never knew you had, the human one, the epitome of what it is to be human, the perfect one, the sinless one, the one who gave his life. The worldly view that he was not an embodiment of his father's mercy and grace, that he was not an ambassador of his father's reconciling work. This worldly view that the older brother had, he forfeited the opportunity to go search for his brother. But the Father invites us to view ourselves and our brothers and sisters in this world from a heavenly view, that we are to be new creations, forgiven of sin, delivered from the power of hell, and made righteous and in right relationship with God and one another. What does that do for your current context in which you live, how you see the people around you, the family members? Anyone have family members that they're not following Jesus and they're kind of very difficult to be with because they don't view life the way that you view? And I know you've prayed for them, but I encourage you, don't have a worldly view, have a heavenly view. A God is a God who reconciles sinners to himself. And if he's done the same for me, he can do the same for them. That should be the goal of, as a church, where we're not so concerned with the inner workings of ourselves, but we are concerned with the lost, the broken, the hurting. That God has come to us to reconcile sinners to himself. So Jesus, would you do a mighty work in us and set us free? We thank you that you have forgiven us of our sins and purified us from all unrighteousness. But Lord, send us out on mission to be your hands and feet, to be an embodiment of your grace and mercy, pointing people to Jesus, the one who laid his life down for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to enter into our time of communion. you truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who live in love and peace with your neighbors, and who intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and humbly kneeling, make your honest confession to Almighty God. Together, Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of your hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who with great mercy has promised forgiveness to all who turn to you in heart and repentance and true faith, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from our sins. Make us strong and faithful in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We do not come to this your table, merciful Lord, with self-confidence and pride, trusting in our own righteousness, but we trust in your great and many mercies. We're not worthy to gather the crumbs from under your table, but you, O Lord, are unchanging in your mercy and your nature's love. Grant us, therefore, God of mercy, God of grace, so to eat at this your table, that we may receive in spirit and truth the body of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and the merits of his shed blood, so that we may live and grow in his likeness, and being washed and cleansed through his most precious blood, we may evermore live in him, and he in us. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.